Beyond the Greeley. Welcome, everyone. It's Saturday, May 8th, and this is episode 113 of the Omnic Weekly. Woo! I am D. And I am joined by some people clearly in the background, and one of them is Hannah.
Hi.
And the other one is LP.
It's LP to the knee.
Exactly, the arrow to the knee. Just before I ask you guys how you're doing, this is the second take of the intro I had to do because when I was reading May 8th, I was thinking like, yeah, May 4th, this week we had Star Wars Day. And my brain just went on a total different course than reading the freaking script. So I was going, oh yeah, and then you had May 5th. And like, what? No, focus, D, come on.
Come on, D.
Oh, good God. Get it together, exactly. Exactly. How you guys doing?
How are
you? She makes it into a song.
Feeling pretty good for the sole fact that Mayhem made it into the May Melee, but we didn't win. Or we went into the losers bracket. We beat Chengdu Hunters, and then we lost to the Shanghai Dragons. So,
which isn't like...
It's a feat. It's a feat for us.
Yeah, yeah. The Shanghai Dragons is not the team where you say, oh my God. Like, I didn't... I thought we got these guys. Like, they are the Shanghai Dragons. Like, they've proven that they're not an easy team to beat. Yeah, my boys didn't make it then. Jesus Christ. The Outlaws, they
popped off, though.
They popped off. Four wins. They defeated San Francisco Shock. They defeated Fuel in the first game of the whole season. And then when they had to qualify for the freaking tournament, they just went, eh.
I want to know if Jake's jersey came down from where, you know, when he retired, did it come down and then it got placed back onto his body, or like, how did this ceremony go?
Oh, do you think it's like a reuniting that they did?
Reuniting.
Yeah.
He came back and graced everyone with his presence. He kind of ascended, or he descended like some sort of god, and like, I owe you back, my children.
Ah, let me take you under my wings.
Yeah.
They definitely had a good influence on the team. Jesus Christ, those games, like the Shark, that game versus the Shark was just, oh my God, I was on the edge of my seat. Well, just because you guys know I kind of slouch and then fall from my chair once in a while, but still, it was really exciting to watch. It has been an interesting season.
I miss watching.
Yeah.
Well, you can open your eyes, Hannah. That's just as simple as it works. Watching. Oh, you mean watching the Overwatch League?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought I meant in general. Like, you were sitting there with your eye closed. I miss watching.
Seeing things. No.
Hannah, I don't know if you saw.
On 4G, I did see. I saw just now.
Hannah, I don't know if you saw, but like, now they have Watchpoint Pride, which is led by, I believe, the community manager of London.
I saw led Spitfire. By Oak.
Yeah, by Oak. Yes.
Aww.
They did a really cool. They were featured for, you know, like the Pride stuff in Overwatch, and they showed a bunch of like content creators in the space, and yeah, awesome. It was really cool, really nice little.
But yeah,
now you're just telling her what
YouTube
she missed.
At the moment, higher than 240p.
Oh my God. So that's basically like watching the thumbnail move. That's what you're basically watching at that point.
It's just not the same watching Overwatch in 240. It's really not.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're missing all those precious coins. And
I know. Oh,
poor you.
Poor Hannah.
Well, soon. Just stick with it. Like by June. What is the name of the tournament in June?
June Joust.
Oh. Well, Jake has to win that because he got reunited. So he has to win the Joust.
He does.
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah. Need to see this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, it's been an interesting season up till now. I'm kind of liking the tournament thing. On the other hand, I feel like by the fact that there's only a few teams that can qualify for the whole tournament, I don't know if like they noticed that they're cutting out a lot of the fan base that is not interested in the teams that are moving forward. I don't know.
There's a lot less teams competing. I mean, then again, you got to think like this is some sort of allure because they're going to Hawaii, which is like, first of all, that's so cool. Everybody's kind of meeting in the middle from the Asia region, from the North American region, meeting to play LAN in the University of Hawaii in Manoa, which is super cool. So it kind of, you know, it makes it a little extra exclusive, but I do feel you that you don't see as many teams make it into the finals, I guess, or the top four.
Yeah. Well, it's in the end, it's just one weekend. The whole tournament is just one weekend. So
yeah, and it's, I guess not that bad. Yeah, in that sense, it's also easier for people to like dip in and dip out. Like, say you miss a, you know, like 2 weeks because your internet's down or you're on holiday or you're just not feeling up to it, for example. You're like, oh, okay, well, that sucks. Now I have to, you know, I'm not really aware of what's going on this season. I don't know how people have done. Now you can just wait for the next competition and it's not that far away.
Yeah, exactly. You can kind of jump in like mid-season. Also, another thing I've loved about this specific season of Overwatch is, not just aside from the cool, like, observers. I don't know if you've noticed any changes, but, like, the observers have been awesome. Like, the templates, the layouts, the graphics, everything has looked really cool. But also, what I really love is that the meta has also been very, like, kind of open.
Yeah, fluid. Yeah.
Fluid. It's very fluid, yes.
Yeah. Totally. The teams are playing on their strengths and not as much on what the game dictates them and trying to change their team to that meta.
That's what we wanted.
Yeah, this isn't no goats meta, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. It's commendable that like they started this season without too many glitches, except for Danny's hand being so big. Other than that, it's just been enjoyable to watch, and I think their numbers have been in general a lot better. Of course, a lot has to do with the coins and the rewards, like the May skin, for instance. Did you guys get the May skin?
Of course.
No.
You did? Sorry, Anna, but look, I just have to... I try to incorporate you because I'm trying here. Come on.
What I want to know is, are we going to get skins for every tournament? So, like, for the June Joust, are we expecting, like, some sort of knight skin?
I feel like that's where we're going because why do it for just...
May Melee, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there was an interview, I don't know if it was an interview or a stream or somewhere. But anyways, the vice president for the Overwatch League, John Spector, who looks like the kid that delivers my pizza. he looks so young, man. But anyways, he said that they're definitely working on a lot more skins. He did not elaborate if we're going to get a skin for every tournament. But what he said is like they're kind of. What he hinted at was that they'll get skins, especially that commemorate the victories. Like the team that actually might win the May Melee might actually get a skin too. We'll probably see that around June. You know what? They had to start it somewhere now.
Yeah, so that's true.
May skin feels like it is not tied into any team.
Unless they released the May skin because they wanted to give themselves more time in like... doing winners, and only the winners are going to get skins going forward, but I don't know.
Yeah. What was your first thing that popped to your head when you saw a May skin?
UFC. I don't know. Yeah. That's exactly what I thought.
I was so kind of thrown off by the fact it's May as a UFC fighter.
And not like Doomfist or somebody like that?
Yeah, like Zarya Doomfist. Like, I'm kind of on the fence in the sense that Zarya, Doomfist, those would have been better characters that would fit better into that theme. But on the other hand, it's just the fact that it is Mei that is an MMA fighter that makes it kind of interesting.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It is Mei for Mei, but they probably could have picked a different theme.
Maybe we will get those
but
characters.
I guess because
maybe like
it was a melee,
years.
They wanted to do something that was recognizably, you know...
Yeah, if the only reason they picked May is because it happened, it was set for the month May, they need to rethink their lives. Like, I mean, like, is that the reasoning? I find it like my thing was that it's kind of interesting that they went for this, the almost the friendliest person in the whole game. Like, is there anybody in the whole hero roster that is more apologetic or more friendly or more like that giggly kind of
squishy and a little bit timid?
And she's kicking ass and standing there with the bruises. And actually, no glasses. I guess, I don't know if you guys noticed that, but it's the only skin for me that doesn't have her wearing glasses. Which is insane. Well, it's not insane. It's nice.
I do love that a snowball is essentially a ring, like a bell, you know? Like a...
Oh, I haven't even paid attention. I got the skin, but I didn't equip it. Because I don't play Mei, so I hadn't even noticed Snowball, what he looked like. Oh, damn. I should check that. Yeah, it's an interesting looking skin. A lot of people were kind of... first off, they were kind of startled by the fact that she had so many bruises. Like, yeah, okay, she got her ass kicked. It's fine. She can deal with it. She looks happy. I'm kind of curious to see what the other guy looks like. And then the braids. That was a huge topic for some reason.
Oh, the cornrows? Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's what fighters do all the time. You know, it's not... I don't know.
According to me, it's something like that is specifically tied into MMA because they don't want you to grab their hair, and it's near impossible to grab anybody's hair. You braid it that way. Basically like a shield, a hair-pulling shield.
Yeah. I mean,
you can put it in the dictionary if you want.
I don't know. Like, I saw people were upset by it, and that's fine. I didn't really want to get involved because I didn't really understand, you watch this from a distance and go, both sides. And I was like, I'm sorry you're upset by it.
My 4G just stopped working, so I'm going to leave now.
Anyway, it
is kind of cool that they like, we were kind of disappointed, the whole community was kind of disappointed when they announced they wouldn't be doing the MVP skins anymore, or reasons we really understand, because we've talked about this in the past, how some individuals, well, if you put a spotlight on an individual and an individual misbehaves, it kind of, yeah, okay, here we go again, and that kind of feel.
It's a bit awkward, but I guess if having winners of entire teams, I guess, makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, it's not tied into a person, or you just have to be a team that turns out all to be kind of, I don't know, commit a group bank robbery or something, and then you're like, oh, come on!
The chances of that happening are a lot lower, especially if they keep them busy.
Could you imagine? Florida Mayhem robs a bank.
Oh my god.
It would be Florida Mayhem, I'm sorry.
It turns out it was LP that is drawing up all the plans and...
Florida men planning. Rob a bank.
Yeah, exactly. But it's kind of cool that they kind of pivoted around that and made it into this thing. And I hope we see another skin for June. And it would be cool to kind of keep this going. I think the game needs, like, for the game itself, it's also really interesting because, let's be honest, there's not that much happening. But we'll get into that in a minute.
I will say, last thing on the Mei Melee is that it would have been cool if Mayhem would have won, because then it would have been Mayhem wins the Mei Melee.
That would have been so cool.
It would have been so many people that would have kind of stumbled on that.
A tongue twister.
Yeah, exactly. Great. It would have been funny. Well, who do you think LP is going to win the whole thing?
I don't know. I think Shanghai looks good, but Dallas Fuel just looks like they're so strong. So I think Dallas is going to take it.
Dallas kind of evolved on a really short, like, they went from starting out the season quite well, not going to say they did good, not going to say hesitant, but they just kind of, I don't know, something clicked and they even shifted the gear. They were already in a high gear and they shifted the gear higher, which is interesting to watch.
You know what's funny? I will say that, remember when we started doing the podcast like 3 years ago and like thinking about it, look at the teams that are on the like basically at the top, Shanghai from season one, right? From season one, you have Shanghai, Mayhem, mm-hmm. and Dallas, like three of the worst teams. I mean, Chengdu wasn't even around at the time.
Shanghai
but...
could not get that win.
Yeah. How many games did they, like, there was a world record. And every single episode of the podcast, we went like, okay, we got our fingers crossed for you, lads. And now we're like, okay, can you just chill down, sit down a little bit and give anybody else a chance?
Yeah.
Well, they're not as dominant as San Francisco was in season two. San Francisco right now is kind of...
Yeah, there's a lot of holes. Or there's a couple holes in San Francisco. Like, they're not fully, you know, patched up, as you
could
say.
Nope. Super has been trying. But I don't know. I don't know what their fix is going to be, what the solution will be. Are they going to kind of pull this off? It's kind of interesting. And that's, of course, the fun thing about esports is that you have these teams that, like you said, that are on the lower ends of the brackets one season, and the next season they're dominating or they're up there.
They can just find their flow and do really well. And
yeah, or find a different roster. Or like, there's a lot of stuff that moves around. Or
yeah, I was going to say whether it's like patch changes or roster changes or just attitude changes.
Yeah, exactly. It's interesting. I'm enjoying this season more than I did with the previous season. Like, I'm still kind of miffed about the fact that they're on YouTube. I'm still like, okay, I would have preferred seeing this on Twitch, but because Twitch is still, for all its faults and all its flaws, still the main... Well, I think that's where most people kind of have their accounts and are looking at stuff. But they're not doing bad at all.
Yeah. It's definitely a good season. I'm happy that, you know, people like John Spector are spearheading, you know, the Overwatch League. He seems like he's very involved and loves
it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. He's really passionate about it. And that's what they actually needed. Like, we've talked about it when his name... I already forgot his name. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I recently spoke to it. I spoke about him to someone explaining that same story. But anyways.
We couldn't pronounce his name anyway. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, true. But he was taking this on top of all the rest of his stuff. Was like that just, if you are the president of esports for Activision Blizzard in general, and then you are, take the commissioner job for... I'll lead the Overwatch League.
Yeah, honestly, you could
on the
be
side.
The most passionate person on the planet about the Overwatch League, but sheer responsibility of all the other things he had to do meant he was never going to be able to kind of
exactly
give it his all.
Exactly. Yeah, and last year was, of course, kind of a bit of a challenge with the whole pandemic kicking off, which was pretty new. This year, we roll with the punches. We know
this
what
year,
it is.
We know what we're in for.
Exactly. I don't think we'll see... Well, the hopes are, of course, that we'll see a live finals, but I'm kind of still skeptical about the fact if it's going to be as huge as it has been for season one and two. I think it might... There will be probably like a live event finals. I don't know if they actually... if they did any announcements around that, but... It would be possible to do it, but I don't think it's going to be possible with, I don't know, 40,000 people like they did in season one.
Maybe not this year, but...
Exactly. Like 2022, if they can survive this year and they keep their investors happy, 2022 should be interesting.
Yeah.
They can bring all
that... That's probably how they're keeping their investors happy. Just think about 2022, guys! Just think about 2022.
And with all the lessons that they've been taking with 20 and 2021, I think 2020 was really interesting to kind of see what their challenges were, and 2021 were the first steps in dealing with those challenges.
Yeah.
And they can take a lot of these wins that they had this year, they can take them along to the return of the live events. And they'll come out stronger, hopefully, potentially.
Yeah, I really hope that the Overwatch League allows, like, people to start doing their live events. You know, it's been a while, but we do have...
Are you guys looking at doing live events?
Yeah, so I started like planning. Still? Yeah, I started planning some like live events type of thing, but like the league is still kind of... We're still dependent on the league's like authorization to make a actual live event with our team name.
Mm-hmm. Isn't Spitfire doing one though?
I actually, so maybe, I don't know if Spitfire is doing it through their, like through Spitfire or through like,
the organization,
the organ, yeah, the supporters organization.
Yeah. It is understandable though. They want to be careful because like
bad PR,
as long as, yeah, exactly. Like this is the last thing they need right now. And, yeah, we're not out of the woods yet. Some people think we are, but we're definitely not out of the woods yet. And even
The Florida thinks we're out of the woods.
I know.
Florida's like reopened completely.
I know.
I was at the store the other day, no one wears masks anymore.
Yeah, same. There's another few states and another few countries where that is the case. But yeah, I think like, yeah, it's definitely going to be a thing that is going to be not in the same way. I think we'll gain a lot of our freedoms, and but yeah, there's going to be instances where we'll see it pop up again.
It's official. So Hangar 9 have organized it, but they're endorsed by London Spitfire.
Okay.
Hangar 9 are back with London Spitfire's official watch parties. Join us for our new home to watch Spitfire versus Mayhem. And then the London Spitfire retweeted this tweet. The missing ingredient to the true OWL 2021 experience is you, Squadron. That's why we're so thrilled to have Platform EXP as our space for you to get together and lend your support. One step closer to formation flight. Aces high.
Okay. It'll probably have to, well, it probably has something to do with the local authorities in the sense that the UK has a different approach than, well, you guys have been vaccinating pretty strongly too.
We have probably been vaccinating limited. Pretty strongly, and people have been going to pubs now for a month, so.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm not, I wouldn't be putting a lot of money in some like events or that are too close by, like summer. Maybe early fall is still going to be rocky. We'll see. I think by November, December, we should be.
Yeah. I just remember being really shocked that there was going to be a live watch party. Being like, excuse me, what?
San Francisco shocked?
What? Yeah, a little bit.
All right. But the Overwatch League is clearly rolling. There's a lot of stuff happening. It's interesting to watch. I think we're going to see throughout the different tournaments and the season, I think we'll see with that fluid meta that some teams that are doing really good at the start might be countered a little harder by the end. I think it's going to be interesting to watch. And I think it's, I think the days of just having one single dominating team, and I think that is something we kind of talked about in the past too. Like in those first seasons, there clearly were a few teams that were dominating and a few teams that were really just not cutting it. Yeah. I think that we kind of already talked about it, like in those, that first season, that is something over time that we'll see, that we were hoping to see disappear, where it basically became a situation where any team had a chance to rise up and do their thing, even if it was just for one sprint or for one tournament or for one shorter period. So
yeah,
that seems to be happening. Actually, the Mayhem and the Hunter game is in rerun right now.
Ooh. Yeah.
Oh yeah, they're doing aren't they doing awards now for reruns as well?
Yeah, the encores, really cool, as they call them.
Yeah, the encores. I don't know if you get, do you get rewards for the encore?
I'm sure I read something where they say that they were either going to do it or it was starting.
Yeah.
Like I don't know if, I mean, I don't know what's to stop people watching the match and then watching it again and earning double the tokens, but maybe they don't mind.
Probably they can track that. Like
maybe viewerships are viewerships, and they really don't mind.
possibly, or they, because
YouTube
can track,
doesn't like, care if you've watched that. Like if you've watched it. Oh,
no, no, no. They want to have as many people on their platform as possible.
Yeah.
No, I don't know how that would be working, if it works to cure, because like for us in Europe, it's hard to watch the melee games. They are
that was kind of their middle of the night. Like angle, like if it's too late for you to watch, now you can still earn rewards. I'm sure I read something about it recently.
All right, did you write it yourself?
Maybe I'm starting to think maybe I did. Don't worry, Heather. You can earn rewards next time. It's fine.
with that British panicking voice, yeah, that it's definitely fine. Is going to work. All right, let's move on from the Overwatch League because there wasn't, like, this last week, there wasn't much that happened. Let's be honest. Like, the new season started for the Overwatch League competitive, and that was it. But the week before that, Aaron did his first interview as game director for Overwatch with GameSpot.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, exactly. It was kind of funny. So it was an interview with GameSpot. It was pretty lengthy. I read all of it, but all the questions kind of revolved over. It's almost like the guy that was doing the interview was trying to sneak in or to get some answers out of him that he didn't want to give. Like, they were all kind of based around the same topic. Is the game going to be okay without Jeff?
Yeah.
Did you guys know he was going to quit? And 3, when is Overwatch 2 coming out? Like, every single question was a variation of one of those 3 questions. Like, dude, you've asked him this before. Come on. What are you doing? But anyways, they did give some interesting, or they get out some interesting information in the sense that he re-emphasized that PvP is an important part of the Overwatch 2 experience. Mm-hmm. And if not the most important part, because in the end, like, in the last few months since BlizzCon 9 or around BlizzCon 9 and anything after that, a lot of people have been looking at what they told us about PvE. And I think, in a way, Overwatch 2 has had a lot of that PvE talk. Like, everybody's been looking forward to that content.
Well, because it's the newer option, isn't it? So it's...
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
I don't want to say it's the defining feature of the game, but it's the biggest difference between 1 and 2.
Differentiator, yeah, exactly. So I think he kind of felt the need to reassure people that, yo, we're not just going to stick PvE to a PvP experience. Like, we're going to work really hard to reimagine and kind of rework the whole PvP experience too, which it was kind of clear when they told us that they are looking into removing tank roles and stuff like that. But still, he wanted to kind of re-emphasize that. So that's good. We know that the push mode is coming. Judging by what he said, we might actually see even more modes being added, which is going to be interesting.
That would be very cool.
Yeah, like, competitive in game could look really different. But on the other hand, the Overwatch League could look really different next season.
Yeah.
It could maybe have a lot of different modes, and it could be, I don't know.
I mean, they could even, like, do these rotating tournaments, and each of the rotating tournaments is a different mode. Like, we don't know what it's going to be.
I wonder if they're going to change, like, the outfit, like, the default, like, team skins, too. Because I know Call of Duty, when a new Call of Duty came out, especially with last season, like, the last season... The skins or the team skins look different from this season, and I wonder if, like, Overwatch 2 is also kind of bring a new, like, a team aesthetic with it.
Oh yeah, most
I'm sure
I guess
will.
With remodeling,
I mean, all of the heroes are getting reworked, which makes the default skins already look different. So it wouldn't be that difficult, I suppose, to put an Overwatch League edge in there. I mean, they may even have specific default Overwatch League skins that aren't just recolors of the default hero skins, because the Overwatch League is now pre-Overwatch 2, whereas they didn't really have that in mind when they were making Overwatch 1. So they could have, like, a proper esports uniform for the heroes, and then team colors are obviously, like, a variation on it, but it would be like a separate, in my head anyway. It's like a separate skin for that hero, just in different colors, that's not just a recolor of their default skin. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm
no, it does.
A lot,
it does.
But...
Yeah, yeah. We're just letting you go. Like, we were like, she's off. Yeah. Let's watch her.
I understand.
I need to explain this how I'm picturing it, because it would be so cool.
It would. And that's actually a feature a lot of people have been asking for, is to kind of have their favorite skin, the ability to recolor it towards their favorite team, for instance.
That would also be very cool.
Yeah.
Like, you don't just buy, like, a skin, you buy a color.
A recolor.
Color.
I have a question, and that's been on everyone's mind. So is the D.Va Nano Cola skin available ever again, or is it just specific to that event? Like, will we ever see another D.Va Nano Cola like make its comeback, or like maybe you can purchase it again?
Well, yeah.
Maybe that's not the question on your minds, but you know.
It was a bit of a jump from the Overwatch League, but
because I'm thinking about like limited time skins and like
the challenge skins and stuff for it.
Yeah,
will we ever be able to get those back?
Like, okay, so I have a thing where like I know my account has like some value and like at least because of the skins I have, but will I like, I don't know. Does that mean that I can never get a D.Va Nano Cola? I have a D.Va Nano Cola, but I'm saying for the people that, you know, don't, could they ever like get it again?
I think that is their challenge, of course, is if you make these limited time events or the limited time skins or whatever, like the moment you reintroduce them, if you bring them back, kind of evaluates it for those people. I don't know. People sometimes get upset with that.
For it, so you're not being ripped off. Shush.
Yeah, that's the Pink Mercy skin specifically. That discussion is still relevant. Like, still people that are...
Copy and paste everything I have ever said about charity events here.
All right.
There we go.
Should I do that in post-production?
Yeah, like, I would love to know if we can get another, like, Mercy... I never had the chance to getting the Mercy breast cancer awareness.
Yeah, the Pink Mercy, yeah.
I will die on that hill.
Well,
a yearly charity event, just like the rest of their events that they do yearly, and then rebuy skins from previous charity years during that, like, 4-week window or 3-week window, and all money paid for the skins goes towards the charities. And every year, they bring out a new skin with either a new charity or a previous charity or a related charity, but you can still spend money on charity every
year.
Okay,
so this is what I want. I want Hammond. I want Wrecking Ball. Testicle cancer awareness. Male prostate.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
That's what I want.
Yeah, I'm not going to say I don't want to see what that Mac would look like. No, I'm going to say I do not want to know what you're imagining that Mac would look like. Like, oh, dude, that would be gnarly. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that.
Well, I'm not asking them to put actual testicles.
You're not asking them to make it a wrinkly bag.
Oh, you basically are asking that.
Well, yeah, I want them to make like a nod. You know, like a nod. Like the Mercy skin wasn't explicitly like, you know, trying to sexualize breasts or something. I just want to pay a nod or something, you know?
How do you nod with a ball-shaped hero? Like, it is a nod by itself.
It is the nod by itself.
So why does your Mac look so wrinkled? What the hell is... No, shut up. Don't ask. I agree. Like, they do it in World of Warcraft. I do not understand why they're not doing it in Overwatch, because so many people are asking for it.
That winds me up every time.
But I don't think exclusive skins will be coming back. Like, once the skins have been, they run out their course, they'll just add new ones to kind of keep them exclusive, I guess. It's kind of in the name, but like, to come back to the topic where we kind of started, it would be cool to see more variations on those Overwatch League skins, and seeing, like, they are kind of doing that with the skin that you can get now, the Ana skin. There's the Contender skins. They're definitely looking into skins as kind of content and rewards.
Yeah.
For anything they're doing. And but of course, they want to keep it low effort on their end. So yeah, I don't know how feasible it would be to make skins that, or like have any skin in game recolored. I don't know. Shouldn't be too difficult, to be honest, but hey.
Well, like, effectively, they would have to, like, they'd have to recolor every single skin in every single Overwatch League color, home and away, if they keep that
but
up
that's
with
something
Overwatch 2, and then you just tick a box to get it.
Yeah, to be honest, on a technical level, they could just kind of automate that, in the sense that they make up some color patterns, they just add some metadata to the models to kind of define, like, okay, this should get color A, this should get color B, this should get the logo, this should get this, and then they yeah. they kind of work and work around that. It's a little more effort, but I don't think it's like it's not like making a whole new skin.
I think they're more likely to make an Overwatch League skin.
Yeah.
I'm going to be rambling again. Let's not go back into that. Or I'll try and explain it again.
It's fine, it's fine.
You're not wrong, though. I kind of agree with that. It makes sense. To... Like, people, I don't know. I think we're in the age where, like, not to get into the crazy NFTs, but, like, digital assets matter to our generation.
They do.
You know, like, having...
We love to pay for pixels.
We pay for pixels, exactly. We love our digital assets. Like, the other day, okay, so not to, like, I feel bad, but, like, you know, Spicy Ramen, our boy Spicy, lost his, I guess he got banned on his Call of Duty Modern Warfare account because, well, I guess the reason was that he, like, was trying to, like, curse out a hacker or something. Not to put your business out there, my boy. I love you.
He was basically
unhappy with something, and he was bummed for what he said about it. But what he was unhappy about was something that was against TOS anyway. Shrug.
Yeah, and he lost all his like assets, or all his like purchases, and all that. Like, that's like money invested. You know, like we care about that shit. Like, we deeply, deeply care about like our skins, our collectibles. You know, and. That's a good point.
I really wonder if that is going to be a precedent, or that's going to be an issue at some point, because now like these companies are to come to Spicy's kind of case, like he was just getting really upset with hackers. Let's be honest, everybody gets upset with hackers, but instead of choosing his side, they chose the side of the hacker, which is insane. But like, they took away his account where he had invested money. Like, okay, that is probably in the code of conduct and whatever you kind of the check mark you check the moment you make your account. But on the other hand, like, I think these companies kind of underestimate the value that people put into those things they take away. Like, they took away, in some cases, they'll take away a few hundred like euros or dollars from people.
I mean, this was. I'm not going to say who I worked for because I might get in trouble. I probably won't, but I might. But a company that I used to work for used to sell like digital copies of like plays and stuff, like stage plays. So they would record them, and then you could either subscribe and get access to their catalogue, or you could purchase individual things, just like with Amazon or Google or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it was actually in their contracts that even if you purchased the file to then watch on your account until the end of days, you didn't actually own it, which meant that the company could take away your access to it at any time without giving you a refund. Because you didn't legally own the video, even though you'd paid for it.
Yeah. Well, I think those are things that at one point that's going to come up, and there's going to be, especially now with the NFTs being so popular and everybody kind of talking about that. At some point, that's going to kind of flip back and go like, "Hey, wait, I paid money for this. I legally own this." Because, like, with the whole blockchain,
I love this talk. Please.
you can make your skin unique to any other skin, if you know what I mean. Like, if you buy a Mercy skin, that is not just a Mercy skin. That is your version of that Mercy skin. Mm-hmm. And the ownership goes to you, at which point they can't take it away as easily. Now, the question is, how do you deal with that as a company and as a Blizzard, Activision? Because in the end, you're kind of supplying them with a platform where they can use this product. So, that's interesting. We're kind of diving into something where we started talking about skins, and now we're kind of questioning the fact if you own anything. That's going to be a thing in the future. I'm sure of it, that is going to be an evolution.
Oh, yeah.
That these companies
it needs to happen a lot faster than it is happening. because there are so many different platforms and products where you can spend money on digital assets and you can pay for your pixels.
Yeah, and it is like the generation, like my parents, if they tell them, like if I tell them I bought, it's not like we discuss it like, hey, mom, how are you doing? Feeling good, right? Oh, yeah, I bought a skin. That's not something that comes up. But if they see their kids doing it, they're usually like, what are you spending money on? You know, it's not real, right? No, mom, but you're not real too. We live in a simulation, so shut up.
So on and so forth, yeah.
No, but like that is a generational thing. And I think the people that are growing up now and getting into those people are going to start their own companies and they'll kind of deal with this in a very different way.
Yeah. We value our digital assets. And I think more generations, you know, are in the cyberspace, you know, we're going to realize that like these things have so much value to us. They are essentially like our currencies or our, our perceived value in these things exists.
Yeah, it's brag value, financial value. Like there's a lot of value, personal pride. There's a lot of personal things tied in to these games and the products that come out of this game. So it's going to be an interesting, and especially like we see humanity evolve. And like I saw this, like when I was a kid, I was watching Blade Runner or something and they had people with prosthetics and this and that, which was just fake then. But now you see people with prosthetics that almost behave like they did in the movies I saw when I was a kid growing up. And like these evolutions are happening, man. The world is changing. People are changing. We're slowly changing into something different. So, and it's going way faster than anybody
else. We're all going to die. Yay!
It almost looks like Overwatch is predicting it, that at some point we'll all lose one of our arms because of the arm-eating monster and have to have prosthetic arms.
Yep.
Anyways, okay. The other thing that Aaron's talked about was like the content that they're kind of planning for Overwatch 2. They are really proud about all the content they kind of set up for Overwatch 1 and their trajectory up till a year ago. but till like Echo, they were really like happy with how they kind of rolled out content. Like they rolled out more content after release than they did with the actual release, which is,
pretty
commendable.
Cool. Yeah.
But they say like
you're
for Overwatch 2
more than doubling your game.
Exactly. For Overwatch 2 they're going to kind of go beyond that and they have way more content planned for Overwatch 2. And that is something we talked about too, like there's different models of in which way they could do this. They could go the battle pass route and have seasons rolling out like they do in Apex or in Fortnite. Mm-hmm. They could have expansions like in World of Warcraft. There's a lot of stuff they could do, but basically what he said is like, trust me, once we get rolling with this game again, there won't be any more dead moments. Those guys at that podcast that I really enjoy, with the Belgian guy, the American dude, and the British lady that sounds so fancy, they'll have something to talk about every single week.
That's exactly what I'm looking forward to. Yeah, I think we need to... Like Overwatch is just so expansive. Like we can, it's like a Star Wars universe, right? People have Star Wars podcasts. Like we can have that level of conversations and discussions around the Overwatch universe when we have the content. Okay, have the content.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be interesting. Yeah. Until then, what? Yeah, just sit on our hands, I guess, and talk about cryptocurrencies and stuff like that.
Let's talk about like our predictions for when Overwatch 2 will come out.
Yeah, I'm not taking any guesses anymore, man. I'm done predicting.
We're not playing that game anymore.
Yeah, me too.
But yeah, look, Aaron talked about that too. But let me quickly, like, what would be the model for you guys? What would you prefer? Would you prefer a Battle Pass season system, or you're more like? The battle pass would be like every 3 months we get a new season with a new hero, with a new part of the story, with new cosmetics, or we go for an expansion, which is basically going to be every 1.5-2 years with, let's say, 6 new heroes and a longer story, like a bigger chunk of story and a lot more changes to the actual game. Like, what would you prefer?
I think that a battle pass system is more likely to fit with what they've built for Overwatch, because the whole point of Overwatch 2 still having free-to-play PvP is that they don't want anyone to get left behind, right? And with a battle pass, it's like there are things... I think we've spoken about this before with the idea where the battle pass makes it a heck of a lot easier to get the stuff included in that season. But if you really want to put the hours in and grind without kind of like paying, you could.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like something like that fits in more with the ethos of we don't want to leave anyone behind than, oh yeah, every year and a half we're going to release an expansion that's mm-hmm. and you're going to be locked out of content if you don't pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I definitely don't like the aspect of being locked out of content, but I could see them moving towards like similar to these exclusive like Melee skin. It'll essentially be like when you buy this battle pass, I don't know what they'll call it, but you're the watch pass. I don't know. I like kind of like dun, that.
Dun, dun. I was going to say the Ogre pass and then just made myself laugh in my head.
Yeah. No, okay. So with this watch pass, what you'll get is you'll unlock an exclusive seasonal skin. Maybe you'll get a couple extra loot boxes. But if you play the free-to-play, like, you're kind of stuck on default skins and kind of just, like, deal with kind of like that, you know? But if you want to buy the battle pass, you get, like, loot boxes, like an exclusive skin and maybe, like
XP bonuses and stuff.
Sprays.
And, yeah.
Yeah, right, exactly. So you kind of unlock the extra perks. I mean, it kind of sucks because, like, people will... feel left out, but at the end of the day, like Blizzard,
I'd rather
feel left
out of having an exclusive skin than feeling left out of Overwatch story.
Yes, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I like your idea. One thing I would kind of pull out of that is the loot boxes. Please, no more loot boxes. Like, just stop with the loot boxes already. We're done with loot boxes. Just give us, like, no more. Am I getting something? No, I'm not.
No, I'm not.
Screw you. Like, I have not gotten anything for the last year out of a loot box, like for an event. Like, I always get stuff from 2 years ago, and then I end up buying them with coins.
See, this is why, at the start of it, this is what you have to do. You have to trick the system, okay? You have to save up your money by playing regularly between each event, and then as soon as the event hits, you use that gold to buy all of last year's skins. So that when you do get a gold, it can only be one of the new ones.
You think that is going to work? They're just going to give me the skin all over again and just put the little gold thing, glittery thing. You're like, oh, you already have it. Screw you.
No, they don't. They don't do that. They don't give you duplicates if there are other things in that category that you do not own.
I don't know.
What you will get instead is money. You will get more money instead of a skin, but by buying the old skins that are only 1,000 instead of 3,000, you kind of take them off so the game goes, ah, okay, you've got those. I'll have to pull from, like, this section of the loot table instead.
All right. But then mathematically, Hannah.
Yeah.
I'm not putting down your idea. I'm not trying to. But I would need to buy 12 skins for $1,000 each for that one 3,000 skin I won.
Because you would have picked stuff up in previous years, right?
Yeah, no, I should have kept up from the start. That's what you're saying.
What's a fair price for the battle pass, you guys think?
I have no idea.
Like, if they did the battle pass, like, I don't know, like kind of like whenever from the start of every like Overwatch season. I really hope they restart the Overwatch seasons, to be quite honest, and competitive. I don't play competitive as much. I actually don't even touch competitive. I haven't touched competitive in like almost a year. But
what is competitive? Like, I don't remember it.
Yeah, I don't even remember it anymore. But, like, it'd be cool if they did it, like, the start of every competitive season, kind of like that. And definitely, like, start over at, like season 1X or something. I don't know. Just don't call it season 1. But don't keep adding, like, season 37. Like, no one really, like, that's just
season 104.
It's just convoluted. It's too convoluted.
Yeah, no, I think exactly.
I think it depends on how regularly they release them. Obviously, if they release them more regularly, then make them cheaper, please. And if they spread them out a bit, then make them more expensive, but give us nicer stuff, please.
Well, Apex is $10 for 3 months.
$10 for 3 months. Okay, that's like, what?
Oh my god, speaking of Apex, have you seen the new hero, Valkyrie? How many does she give you? Pharaoh vibes?
Or is Pharaoh and Hanzo. If she has the bow, it's like a Pharaoh Hanzo.
Oh my god, I love her. I love the new hero on Apex. I've actually been playing a little bit more Apex because my friends are back into
Legends.
It.
Legends.
Okay. Someone go there.
Right, you're so right. I tend to call like League of Legends heroes as well, just because of Overwatch. But I know they're champions. But
yeah, I know. I only. When you're writing about all of these different things, you have to be so careful.
You have a cheat list, right? Yeah. Don't you have a cheat list somewhere, like Apex? Oh, it's Legends. This game, it's that. Like in Valorant,
Google is
it
my
was...
cheat list.
Agents, yeah.
Yeah,
I
agents
heroes,
in Valorant.
So.
Yeah.
Sucks, yeah. Man. Overwatch has trained my mind to think.
Well, I know. I want to call them all heroes too, though. Don't worry. I was just being smart.
But in the end, they are all heroes, right? No,
they're all
okay.
Heroes to me.
Yeah, they're all heroes to me.
All right. But we'll see. Because, like, one thing that the last thing I want to say about the Aaron interview is that he mentioned, like, they were pushing him to get at least something out of him about Overwatch 2 and the content. And he said, like, look, well, Jeff kind of promised us to get an update in May, April, March, April. Look, we're in May. Last thing he said, and he didn't even make it happen. Come on, Jeff.
Come on, give us something.
Jeffrey. Yeah,
but Aaron said that they'll be announcing big features for Overwatch 1 and more news about Overwatch 2 really soon. So what I'm thinking is probably in a few weeks when Overwatch turns 5 years old, they'll probably do a whole thing where they kind of introduce a big new feature and start talking about Overwatch 2 a little more.
Yeah, doing it for the birthday makes sense, I reckon.
Yeah, exactly. But for Overwatch 1, they are working apparently on something really big, that as big a feature as they've ever put in the game.
Did we discuss this last time?
I don't think so, because
And I'm sure we've had this piece of tidbit before, because we were talking about what it might be, and I said, what if they give us the new HUD?
Oh yeah, that might have been. Yeah, remember? Well... Remember? For the people that missed last week's episode, that was 2 weeks ago. See, that's what happens if there was nothing this week.
I think, like, no doubt he said this in the interview and brought it up again, but I think he did us. I think he did us dirty and told us something we already knew.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that the interview was after we released our last episode. When Jeff left episode where LP couldn't join us, and then he did the interview somewhere. We got the interview on Tuesday after that, so
he's just giving us information we already have.
So we should learn more about it. We should learn more about it. And he said that they put in a lot of effort of every department, and which is interesting that this late into the current game they're still putting in that much effort in adding a feature. But on the other hand, like we've said before, that's probably something they just want to kind of prepare for Overwatch 2 and that they know is easy to port over.
I still just think it's going to be the
HUD. I don't know. I have a list of things that I'm actually going to make a video about it tomorrow. Like, like the clans is still a thing.
Man, I'm so ready.
There's a lot of people that have been asking for a ping system. I was actually in a game this afternoon and someone said, like, I want ping. Like, yeah, that might be one of the features that they might implement before Overwatch 2 releases.
I don't think that's, like, big enough to be called the biggest feature ever added.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like Overwatch just moves too fast for a ping system. Like, it doesn't, to me...
They talked about it in the past about a ping system. Like, they want to do it, but they were actually doing like a year and a half ago.
I think
they
this
were
when like Apex got released and everybody was like, oh my god, revolutionary, like Apex has the ping. I remember that.
Yeah.
But I just don't see, I don't know. Overwatch, I mean, maybe it works, but like, I don't know. Overwatch has just been so, it's so fast paced and like chaotic that pinging is just, and I could also see like you have more teammates than like just three. So like the ping system can be kind of all over the place.
Yeah, it should. It could have been a different system than
Snake's
like
people the all pinging different things.
Oh my god! I mean, they already did a pretty big like change by adding the communication wheel.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I was just going to say that they already moved in that direction.
I think
for
that communication wheel is bigger than a ping system.
Yeah, like fall back. Like that makes sense. That's such.
It definitely added stuff to the, let's say, it's more animo to the games. Like some people are capable of having.
And have that silly little face pop up over your head is amazing.
Yeah, you can have a full conversation just with that thing on the emotion wheel, like the voice lines and everything. It's just it's kind of fun. But yeah, well, I'm really hoping that that by the anniversary, which is in 2 weeks. Which should be right after the next episode.
Dun, dun, so,
that we get some more info about that.
I mean, if it's big enough, we may even do an extra episode instead of waiting 2 weeks to talk about
it. Yeah, well, I'm actually thinking they might. Yeah. They're not going to wait to the actual anniversary to do that. They're probably going to do it the moment they announce the anniversary event.
They're probably going to do it the moment we finish fucking recording. But there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Like they always do.
Yeah, exactly. No, they might like the event is going to probably start May 18th, which is actually less than 2 weeks. So that's going to be the next episode is going to be in the event is already going to be running. So but then we should know what it is.
In theory, we should be recording on the 22nd. So
yes. Are you Thierry? Are you saying that you're not going to make it?
I'm not saying I'm not going to make it.
That silence was like murdering silence. When I
pondering.
What did he just say? Ooh, kick his ass. Yeah, no. Well, we'll see. We'll see. In 2 weeks, we hopefully have more, and hopefully Hannah will be joining us.
Hopefully Dee will be joining us. Oh. Allegedly, well, he's going to be there, but we don't know for sure.
Is that a threat? Come on. You guys heard it. If I disappear, you know what happened. All right. No, but that is definitely something to look forward to. And then the actual anniversary event, like I love that event. It is the event with the most out-of-the-box skins that we've seen in game ever.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah. We get to kind of play all of the brawls that we've seen over the whole year. We get access to all of the loot.
We get to replay the archive events again.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. There's a lot of stuff. Basically, it's like they're opening all the doors and going like, welcome, welcome. This is Overwatch. Enjoy. And then they put in a lot of weird skins, which is always interesting. Like some of my most favorites, like the Toxic Roadhog and stuff like that, is all anniversary.
Some of the anniversary stuff is really, really good.
Yeah, indeed. Like, actually, the May skin, the MMA skin, would have fit perfectly as an anniversary skin.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, that would have been a good addition to that event. So we kind of, like, I think for the next 2 weeks, we have some stuff to look forward to. I generally hope that, like they've told us after BlizzCon 9, like, okay, the communication stop is over. And now we're like 2 months further. I'm still struggling to kind of keep posts up on the Omnic post and with my videos to keep content flowing on the podcast. We're still on a 2-weekly schedule because we can talk about anything like we say every single week. But I just hope they kind of do these regular updates and keep sharing. I don't know why they are so hesitant to kind of communicate.
We'll never. I mean, that's the $1 million question, right? Like, when will we actually get any news or updates?
I guess, and I think they just. I just think they don't want to make promises they can't keep, and they don't want to. With times as uncertain as they are, they don't want to be forcing people to.
Yeah, but on the other hand, we see
a super tight schedule or anything. I don't know. It's the only thing I can think of.
I can understand that, but they need to wait off of like seeing that community shrink. Like they did an announcement this week that Blizzard lost millions of players over all their IPs. Like last year, Overwatch won, like, or there were 10 million new accounts that were made last year, but we all know that those were most likely Smurf accounts. Like, I want to see the percentage of new people that joined in. I want to see the percentage of people that haven't touched their account.
Yeah, sorry.
No worries.
The other thing is, if they have got it, like, booked in their diary, we're going to reveal something excited about Overwatch 2 on the 18th of May. To them, that's not very far away, but to us, it still seems like an eternity because it's an unknown. But exactly. If they have a date where they're going to be revealing information, it doesn't look anywhere near as scary because they have the date. They know when it's happening.
Yeah, and if they really are as far as they say right now, and if that release date early 2022 is still happening, they need to ramp up communication and kind of get people hyped a little more.
I mean, again, in 2 weeks, it could be the start of the ramping up. We don't know.
Yeah, well, we said the same thing about BlizzCon Online. Like, we were kind of convinced, after that, it's going to be woo-hoo!
But every single week. No, Jeff was leaving.
Does anyone have Jeff's, like, social media? Like, what is he up to? I want to know.
He doesn't have social media, far as I know.
I wouldn't if I was him.
Oh.
Yeah, man. He's just, like, living such a good life right now. Mike Morheim called him up. He's like, yo, Jeff, you want to go for a couple drinks? Let's go. Jeff's like, let's do it. Next thing you know, they're at a bar discussing like the next project that they're going to be working on. Like, it's the cool down period. I like you said, D, a couple, I think, weeks ago, that guys like Jeff and guys in the gaming industry don't usually take long breaks because this is like a passion project. Like, you're an artist, you know, essentially, you're an artist.
Yeah.
So artists will always have,
you'll need
exactly. That's it.
Create.
Yeah.
It's a lifestyle. It's a personality trait. It's not a job. And he'll take some vacation now. He'll probably be enjoying some time off with his family. He'll be back.
But you know, it's funny because people like that will definitely take breaks. But if they won't go on break, like, Jeff's not done. You know, like, he is not done. Mock my words. He is not done because at some point, he's going to be staying at home, you know, with his wife for a long time and his kids, and he's going to get very itchy, and he's going to be like, okay, I need to get out the house now. And then that's exactly, yeah. So he's going to be going back into the field to some degree. I don't know where, but how.
The point is, when you have a brain like that, you can't turn it off.
Yes. And you also want to get out the house.
He already knows what he's going to do. It's already planned out. He knows when he's starting his next project.
His mind is probably already working on the next project, even though he
already talked to Mike Morheim. That deal is already, like, they already signed a contract.
Oh, yes.
And I was going to say,
I don't think he would leave without knowing where he was going next.
Yeah. I would be extremely surprised if he doesn't end up at Dreamhaven. Like, if he gets kind of picked up by Riot or something, I would be extremely surprised.
Yeah. If he gets picked up by Riot, that's a slap to Blizzard. I'm so sorry, but like...
That would be the second time, because they did it before with Ghostcrawler, who did... He was the game director for World of Warcraft.
Oh, really?
They stole him away.
I think they picked up my favorite concept artist, too.
I love Blizzard Act. Let me clarify. I love Blizzard. And I know what Riot Games is doing. You know, just like what they do with their games, rather. And man, like, if you're just a gamer, you can appreciate what Riot Games does. Even if you don't, I don't play League of Legends. I don't really play Valorant too much. But as like someone from the outside looking in, like, you can appreciate what Riot Games does. Did you hear about Arcane, the new series? For League of Legends, too.
That looks so pretty.
Oh my lord, Jesus! I saw it. I'm like, pretty. GGs, like, come on, Blizzard, please.
I want that for Overwatch.
I wanted two for Overwatch. Like, that's what I'm saying. You got to just appreciate.
I want that.
Riot for that shit.
Yeah, Riot's just been sitting on a lot of money. Okay, that's not weird.
Just roll with
Riot has just been sitting on a lot of money that they got with League of Legends, and now they're kind of just going, all right, let's see what we can do with all this money. Epic did. Yeah. All right. Well, I don't think it's going to be by the end of the year. We should hear what Jeff is up to and what he's going to do. I think they're preparing at Dreamhaven to start communicating about what they're actually doing.
Put his name on a door.
D, Do you think there's any games? Have you actually seen any of the projects in Dreamhaven that they're working on?
I don't think they communicated about any specific, only about studios. And there are rumors of them, that studio is formerly, a lot of former StarCraft people. And we know that Mike Morhaime was, he loved StarCraft. It was his favorite IP at Blizzard. So,
really?
They might be doing something in the StarCraft direction. And there's, the guys from Hearthstone might be doing something with a card game.
Only officially formed in November, so give them a second.
They had a second. They had 3 months of seconds. It's about time. No, 4 months, 5 months. Start rolling. No. I'm really I love Blizzard too, but I'm going to be honest. The people that are Dreamhaven right now are they're a few of my favorite people. That some of them are the originals that started Blizzard. And is it the old Blizzard ever coming back? No, but might Dreamhaven become the old Blizzard? Maybe. Maybe
we'll see. It's like an all-star team of just developers is what Dreamhaven is right now. So
yeah, exactly. Mike just used his how do you call that? His when they pay you to leave, what is it called in English?
Paid leave? I don't
know. No. Like when you quit. Yeah, it's they give you the whole golden handshake, right? I don't know what they call it. There's a word for it. But anyways, he used all that money to start Dreamhaven and go he probably used all his connections to get the funding because games are freaking expensive. And they're rolling.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm curious to see what they're going to end up with. All right, but guys, I think it's about time.
The phrase severance package?
Severance package, exactly. I love the way you kind of slid in there. You really get close to the microphone and go, is this what you're looking for?
Yeah.
Do you like this candy? Do you want this candy? Something like that.
Oh.
But less creepy.
Help!
But I think it's about time we wrap this up before we get murdered by... That's the second time she kind of threatened to murder me.
Oh my God.
You're the one offering me poison, okay?
I'm not offering anything!
You are offering me candy!
No! How well do you know me that I would be offering candy to anybody? I would just eat it myself. You know that.
That's why I think it's poison!
That would never... That would be... no single judge in the whole world that go, oh yeah, he offered you... That fat ass offered you candy?
Here's the fucking episode, right? And then I'll get trouble swearing to that. The judge.
Yeah, it's going to make an impression there. All right, let's round this up. I think we've yapped enough for today.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, can you tell all these fine people, all these joyful folks, all these avid listeners where they can find you? Let's start with Hannah.
No.
Okay. LP, where can people find you?
So you guys can find me at Lon's Pons on Twitter and Instagram. And yeah, that's mostly where I'll be. You probably won't find me in anywhere else. So
yeah, that's where he lives. Where he hangs out. He's basically a virtual program.
Real life anymore. He's just a digital entity.
I am you never met me, so you don't really know.
Exactly.
Look, if you want to see a video of a Florida man and the little wool. Shirts, the sleeveless shirts, playing bass.
We don't know if that's actually LP though.
I'm a VTuber. Actually a VTuber. My real identity is I'm a worm. Kind of like you ever seen Pinky in the Brain? They go inside of the suit. I am a worm. I'm an actual worm. Like Earthworm Jim. I use this body as a vessel to do things.
Worm moms. Gotcha.
This bit just gets weirder and weirder. I don't know what's happening. Hannah, are you still convinced that people should not find you on the internet?
Yeah.
Okay. You can find me as Atomics TV on Instagram, Twitter, and one app. What's it called again? TikTok. And of course on Twitch, where I stream Overwatch 4 days a week and 1 day of Apex, actually.
Ooh.
Dun, anyways. Dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Nice. All right, but thank you very much for listening, guys. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you're listening. If you feel you want to give a nice review, hey, We're not going to stop you.
We won't.
Well, Hannah might, but the rest of us won't.
I won't.
Yeah, okay. See, that's settled. Just write the review. All right, thank you very much for listening, guys. We'll see you or hear you. You'll hear us, rather, in 2 weeks. Till then, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, so hear me out. We have Hammond, okay? The Hammond Testicular Cancer Awareness.
Oh, listen, my God.
It's a walnut, what? Not testicles. It's a walnut.
I love that.
Wait, a walnut? Is that like someone that ran into a wall really hard and then, oh, my God, I have a case of walnuts.